Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the name of this song, Courtney?
Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Yeah,
and
wonderful.
I know the artist as well.
Who is it?
Jimmy Buffett.
Yes.
Strong awesome. Start for Courtney this morning.
It is amazing.
Was he a billionaire when he unfortunately passed?
No, you're thinking of Warren Buffett.
No, I think Jimmy Buffett. I think Jimmy Buffett was up there when it came to net worth.
He did not own Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah, I know that.
I don't think a billionaire.
Well.
Yeah, I think you might be thinking Warren Buffett.
Oh, shucks. $275. All right.
Yeah. A little off.
Oh, that was awesome.
It was a little Courtney,
how much was Jimmy Buffett
so good
worth?
Too.
By 2023, his net worth was officially $1 billion.
Jimmy Buffett?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Warren Buffett's a guy that is brilliant investor. Yeah. Jimmy Buffett sadly passed. The Margaritaville Hotel that we stay at down the Cape, lovely.
Uh-huh.
Very nice place.
Jimmy Buffett owned that?
Yes.
That part of his portfolio.
Margaritaville is his thing.
Okay.
So
that's what I'm saying. His portfolio is more than just the music.
Well, hey, Courtney, I don't want to disagree with the pregnant woman. I think you're right.
And we'll believe anything that the internet says when it comes to net worth. So what's it saying? $1 billion?
Buffett released his first album, Down to Earth, in 1970. And to speak to his finances, by 2023, his net worth was officially $1 billion. This includes a $180 million stake in his company, Margaritaville Holdings, LLC, which opened in 1985 and now brings in $1 to $2 billion annually.
Look at that.
Wow, look at that.
Margaritaville.
All right, Courtney.
Thank you.
No shoes, no service, or no problem, however it goes.
I didn't know that place made
that much. That's a Kenny Chesney song.
I didn't know that place made so much bread.
I mean, before the road shows, Margaritaville was struggling. We went there, boom, took over. Speaking of Jimmy Buffett, he was played because the host of the show, Greg Hill, is in Key West, which is what Jimmy Buffett helped make famous. And he'll be back on Monday. Courtney, Wiggy, Shime, and I are here. College Tom as well. Cotto in Boston. Good morning, Cotto. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. So yesterday you guys kind of spoke on what would happen if Bill Belichick was let go by North Carolina. And you guys kind of had brought up the Giants. And to Courtney's point, I'm not a fan of the Giants. I hate New York. But I do love Jackson Dart. And yesterday watching the game, I started to think to myself that if Bill Belichick were to ever go back to the Giants, at least in these next couple of years, it would be a complete S show. And I say that because you have an alpha young quarterback like Jackson Dart, and you also have an alpha receiver like Malik Nabers who will be coming back. And I think that if Bill were to get into that position again, it would be like a Mac Jones situation all over again, and it would further ruin whatever he has left of a career after the Patriots.
Yeah, I think Courtney's going to get to Belichick and Hurley today, and very, very, very unlikely he's back in the NFL. If he does end his career with North Carolina, I think he'll be a media guy. He'll do something. Maybe he'll go to speak across the country. I have no clue. But the days of him being a head coach in the NFL, right. I think, are likely
I think
over.
Courtney said it best yesterday. Like, who's going to hire him? You know what I mean? It would be like, you know, when you look at it, it's like, who's going to run the risk of – because aren't there you – know, who the hell knows what reports – like, aren't there reports out in – Vegas that Pete Carroll and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there and it just seems like, you know, that doesn't look like it turning out to be a good option. So maybe some of these.
Well, if there was a place, if they really wanted to do something interesting in Vegas, they could hire the other 70-year-old.
No, but I'm thinking maybe these owners might go away from hiring guys that are in their 70s, you know, when it comes to, you know, trying to get guys to buy in.
Yeah, it's the other thing is that the jobs that become available now are often on teams that are not winning at a high level. And if you're not winning at a high level, then you're going to begin a process of a rebuild. Do you want to begin a rebuild with a guy that just wants to win now? It's not exactly a match.
And a guy who's 73 years old.
Right. So thank you for the call, though, Cotto. 30 minutes from now, we will have Pop Douglas explain to us why this is not a trap game Sunday in New Orleans. But right now, let's get to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
I should know this. I've heard it a million times.
You definitely have. Very popular in the early 2000s.
Blink 182.
Not quite. Think about Trapping.
I have no idea.
This is Headstrong by the band Trapped.
Oh, I never heard of Trapped, but I'm glad I knew the song, didn't know the band.
Fair.
0-for-1. Shime, what is your lead today?
Yeah, I just, thank you, Curtis. I think, you know, you guys hit on it already a little bit, but the idea of trap games in the NFL right now are very, very real, just because I think the parody in the NFL, Wiggy has touched on this a little bit throughout the week, there just are no, like, juggernaut teams in the NFL right now. Every game is relatively, for the most part, there are some really bad football teams, but they're, for the most part, every game is winnable for any team on Sundays, which I think has made a really enjoyable product so far this year through 5 weeks. I look forward to the regular season because I think, like, you look at the NFC, the way the Eagles are stumbling, any team could win the NFC. It could be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It could be the Detroit Lions. It could be the Philadelphia Eagles. It could be the Washington Commanders. Like, you have no real sense, no front runner in the NFC, and I think it's the same with the AFC. Like, Buffalo, to me, I would still pick as the best team in the AFC, but at this point, through 5 weeks, I wouldn't be shocked if the Indianapolis Colts were to come out on top, or the Jacksonville Jaguars were to find their way on top, or somehow Kansas City rises from the dead, and they won the AFC. Like, all of those things seem plausible and possible to me, and I think it makes for a really good NFL product, but I also think it makes it very scary for the New England Patriots over the next 4 weeks. We have them winning. We want them to win all four games against the Saints, Browns, Titans, and Falcons, and those are all four very winnable games, but at the same time, again, because of the parity and the way the league is right now, no game is a guarantee. They have to be fully prepared mentally and physically for each one of these games, and they have to do everything they can to come away with the win. Curtis, you mentioned earlier this week, like, it doesn't matter if they win by...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
By 10 or they win by 1, just come out with the W, and everybody, I think, will be happy when we get to that Tampa Bay Buccaneers game. Yeah. If you can come out with 4 wins.
Because last night, like, if you would have told us going into the season and you're looking at, all right, Thursday night football schedule, like, all right, which games do I want to watch? Last night we would have been like, who the hell wants to watch Giants-Eagles?
If you had told me the Eagles were up at halftime and would score 0 points in the second half, I would never believe you.
And just, you don't even have to look across the NFL, Shime, but you make a very, very compelling lead to my good friend Shime. The other thing I would say is the Patriots themselves have lost 2 games where they were the better team at home this season. They're a better team than the Raiders, and they were better than the Steelers. They just kept, I mean, they had 5 turnovers. So if that happens on Sunday, if they're not controlling the ball, if they're turning the ball over, if they're having dumb penalties, they're going to lose. I just think that this, it is so important, and I know Vrabel knows this, that Courtney's fears will come to fruition if they don't win. Everything that we've said this week will disappear.
Right.
And the pressure will be compounded that how do you blow 3 games now against the Raiders? I mean, the Ravens, the Ravens.
The Raiders.
The Raiders, the Steelers, and the Saints.
Yeah. It also, like, the confidence level. And Mike Vrabel, after the win, said, you know, we were confident going into this one when asked about confidence. But you can't deny that if you're Drake May, still a young quarterback, getting a win like that on Sunday, your confidence level must go up. But then if you go in and you lose on the road to a team you should be beating and you see the narrative switch, that's a blow to your confidence as well. Like, we should be building on that confidence right now, not taking away from it.
Right.
All right. And I failed in this, Shime, so demerit. The leads today are brought to you by Subaru. Fall in love with a brand new Subaru featuring symmetrical all-wheel drive. Find yours at SubaruofNewEngland.com. College or post-college, Tom, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Curtis. Like many, I watched the Tatum video dunking yesterday. And as somebody who was very skeptical about when Tatum was going to come back, I am all in on Tatum returning this season. And I think he can make NBA history this season. The fastest return from an Achilles tear in the NBA is from Wesley Matthews at 237 days. Tatum at 150 days is already dunking. And if you look at other players who have come back from an Achilles super, super fast, like Kobe Bryant, who tore his Achilles at 34 years old, he returned in 240 days. And just 30 days before he returned, he was doing full 5-on-5 workouts. And 2 months before that, he was doing box jumps and things like that. So if Tatum is ramping up for the next 5 weeks, then actually starts doing 5-on-5 scrimmages, basketball drills, Tatum could be back late December, early January. And if he says he wants to have his first game back, be at the Garden, early January, there were 4 home games in a row at TD Garden against the Bulls, Nuggets, Raptors, Spurs. Tatum is an anomaly, and I am so, so thankful he is on our Boston Celtics, because no other athlete would work as hard to come back from this injury as Jason Tatum is.
It's just going to be interesting.
Can I ask just a quick question? Why do we, if you're Tatum, why are you trying to get the expectations there? Like, why wouldn't you do this behind the scenes and then show everybody you're ready to go early?
It's a pretty sick video.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's all about him. It's not about the team. I mean, the team is, all they're going to be asked about is when is Tatum coming back?
Yeah, and I think when you look at it,
Rusty is a mother.
And to Real World Tom's lead, I wonder, because the Kobe Bryant situation, he came back, but he only played in 6 games, right? So if you're talking about Tatum coming back, let's say January, we'll put that on it. That's a lot of games that Tatum's going to be playing, and
it's a great lead, Tom. To me, I don't care about the record-breaking thing. I just want him to be as healthy as possible, as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that maybe this is a way to, you know, lift the spirits, but it overshadows the entirety of the start of the Celtics season. There's nothing that they're going to do in the first half of the season that will be more important than what Jason Tatum posts on Instagram.
But I think to college, Real World Tom's.
It's okay. He was just college.
Just call him Tommy Cutlets now.
Right? I think to his lead is that if the Celtics can stay competitive when Tatum's out, and then let's say Tatum does come back January 1st, now they can now make a push, because they'll have Tatum, and we'll say, oh, wow, Tatum looks like he's back in rare form and he's ready to go, and this Celtics team stayed competitive enough, and now you don't necessarily have to throw away next season.
Double-edged sword, though, because if they struggle for the first half of the season, mm-hmm. though, to Curtis's point, everybody's going to be begging, when is Jason Tatum coming back? And these videos only fuel that fire.
Ding, ding, ding.
But remember, it's him doing a two-foot jump dunk with 2 hands.
It was a shoe ad. It's a shoe ad.
Yeah, where there's no high intensity.
But it's still cool.
How do you think it was received by Celtics fans?
No, we were all over it.
I mean, listen to Tom. He's slobbering all over it.
And I didn't see, until Tom said that, I didn't notice it. And so I said, let me go look at the video. I was like, man, okay. Man, he banging off 2 feet that already without even taking a step. Yeah.
How many shows did Greg miss with the puppy gate?
I wasn't around for that period.
Me either. One of the funniest scenes I would witness would be where the old EEI studios were in 20 Guest Street. Our studio doors opened into the hallway, which is right where the elevators were. And at like 5:58 every day during that period, you would hear this commotion. Spaz would run. Greg would be walking with coffee and like some crazy contraption and like a wheelchair. It was the craziest thing I had ever seen, but I'm glad I wasn't working for him then. He sounded like he would have been a little curmudgeonly. We're going to finish our leads in a minute. I just want to let you all know that we are live on Twitch, brought to you by Springer's Jewelers. For over 150 years, Springer's Jewelers has helped New England celebrate life's biggest moments. Just like that caller this morning got engaged in Key West. He should have gone to Springer's Jewelers. Located in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Springer's carries the world's finest jewelry and watches. Visit springersjewelers.com. Courtney's lead, Wiggy's lead, and my lead coming up next. Courtney with some important information as to the reporting on Bill Belichick. We'll get to that next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.